Turn your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter number 7. While y'all pray, my mind is going in about 1,000 different directions. And I don't know which way's up, but I know the Lord's up. Amen? Brother Carl was testifying, and I was already thinking before he testified. I was looking around this room, and I was watching people in the altar, and I just can't help but be amazed at how so many of us go out. I mean, we have every opportunity to do good. We have every opportunity to do right. We're taught the right things. We're shown the right things. But yet, in spite of it all, we go out and we make a mess and we make a wreck. But God is gracious and God is merciful. And He gives us opportunity after opportunity and chance after chance. Hallelujah. I just felt like saying that. The Lord is so merciful. I was thinking, me and Colin, we grew up together all our lives. Y'all don't know that's Brother Greg Godfrey's big brother. And there was a time when we could both whoop Greg. I don't know about now, but anyway, we used to pick on him really bad. But I thought about, Roger, how many times all three of us and even more of you that are here that we grew up with, we ought to be dead. By all stretch of the means, we ought to be dead and probably in hell. But God's been so good. God's been so merciful. Man, we ought to just shout from the rooftops this morning. Ain't God good? Amen. Thank God for Jessica getting saved, man. She don't even know it, but I've been praying for her for weeks, man. And I remember when she first came, I didn't even know her name. But I'd say, God, help that girl. You know which one I'm talking about. Lord, help her. And man, I begin to watch. I wouldn't embarrass her for nothing, but she first came to church and just sat there with a blank look on her face. And I don't know if she felt this way, but I did. I thought she hates my guts. I just preach and I just think, Lord, help her. She hates my guts. Amen. And boys, look at that smile, boy. I'm about to have a fit, whether y'all are or not. Amen. She got saved this morning. Man, God's, I could just say, let's dismiss right now and say, it's been good to be in church. My. Woo! Y'all in 1 Samuel chapter number 7? I may get there in a little while. I'm not sure. But I've been going so many different directions. Me and Levi was talking yesterday, and I started to steal his thought for this morning, but I'm going to do something totally different, I think, if I ever get to it. But this is Memorial Day weekend. And it's not really what we'd call a spiritual holiday like Christmas or Easter. But I think it is an important holiday. Memorial Day. Memorial Day is a day when exactly what the word says, we remember something. And we remember some things. And I was sitting yesterday and watching my family. We graduated Tanner Dunlop yesterday morning. That's a big deal. Not because he's a problem child or a problem student, but when he was just a little baby, he was diagnosed with a tumor on his brain. And he's had surgery after surgery after surgery. But yesterday he walked across the platform and they handed him a diploma. Hallelujah. That's a big deal. After the graduation, we had all our family and friends at the house. I don't know. We had at least 50 people there as a crowd at my house, and I thought they would never leave. I'm kidding, Stephanie. We had a great time, man. We had barbecue and watermelon and hot dogs. Man, we had a good time. But I sat and watched my family as I get older. When you get old, this is what you do. You sit and watch everybody else. And you have a good time watching them have a good time. Sister Angie said, you going to get in the pool? I said, no. Not with all these people here. I said, I'm going to sit and watch. But I sat and watched my kids and Stephanie's kids, and I was listening in on the conversations. And I heard them laughing and laughing and laughing. And you know what they were doing? They were remembering. They were remembering. And it was all just precious memories. There was a board that Robert fixed, a big, about that big and about as tall as this pulpit, standing in our kitchen. It was covered with pictures from Tanner's life. And there was a picture from that very first surgery when he was a baby, and I'm kneeled over his bed, and his mama, his grandmother, who's in heaven now, we were all gathered around that bed and praying before he went in. I'll never forget what the doctor said. He said, that tumor's in a place that only the hand of God was meant to go. And he said, whether he survives or not, it'll be up to God. Like I said, he graduated high school yesterday. I got a lot to say this morning. I just don't know. I'm a little bit emotional. And by the way, I believe we serve a God who's a little nostalgic. God likes to be remembered for what he's done. But we sat around and was talking yesterday. They was talking about Dustin. That's Tanner's older brother, and Dustin's probably 6'2", 575 pounds. How much? Not that much. He's big boy. He's big boy. I don't know, 250, 300. Big boy. He's a big old boy. I wouldn't mess with him, and which I may have to if he heard that. Amen. But he spent the night with us when he was little. And we had a Jack Russell Terrier. Y'all know what a Jack Russell, a little dog. And that little dog had a crate. You know, one of them little plastic dog houses. And Dustin somehow backed into that crate and was in that dog crate and was stuck. And we was talking about that and remembering that thing. And you know, and I was sitting there listening to all that yesterday, and my kids were talking about stuff from when they were little, and I thought, you know, it's good to have memories. It's so good that we can remember. One of the worst things about growing old is forgetting your memory. Or losing your memory. Not remembering people and places and things that's so important to you. And life's full of them. Life's full of great memories. It's full of some bad memories. But sometimes those bad memories even cause us to love each other more and be closer. I read a story yesterday about a man. His name was Bill, and Bill had a horrible memory all his life. He couldn't remember nothing. And he run into Joe, a friend of his, and he said, "Hey, Joe." He said, "Hey, Bill, how you doing?" He said, "Man, I'm doing great." He said, "You remember how I had a hard time with my memory?" He said, "Yeah, I remember." He said, "Well, I went to an institute for bad memory, and they helped me regain my memory." He said, "Now I have perfect memory." He said, "Well, Bill, what's the name of that place?" He said, "Let me ask my wife." He said, "Hang on a minute." He said, "Joe, what's the name of that flower? You know, it's real beautiful, and it's red, and it's got a long stem with thorns on it. What's the name of that flower?" And he said, "Rose?" He said, "That's right, Rose, baby. Do you remember the name of that program?" I was in. Some people have a bad memory. That's bad, you can't remember your wife's name, amen. But truth is, there's people in the nursing home today, they don't remember their wife's name. And it's sad. It's one of the most horrible things you'd ever. Hey, we ought to thank God for the memories we have. Amen. I hadn't seen Colin. It's been 2 or 3 years, and I walked in Sunday school class, and there he sat this morning. Man, my mind just flooded with memories from our childhood and the things we got into and some of them things I wished I could forget. But my mind just flooded with childhood memories. And Colin said one of the first things he said was how he was talking this morning about riding Mama's bus when he was a little boy. And he got here, and one of the first people he saw when he got here was Mama. Those are good memories, man. And I thank God we have some. And on Memorial Day, there's some things we ought to remember. There's some things we ought to remember. Some good things. There's some traditions in our country, and there's some traditions in our churches that could be thrown out the window and they wouldn't make a lick of difference. But there's some traditions we ought to hold dear. Even some of them aren't biblical traditions, but I believe Memorial Day is a biblical tradition. I heard Brother Thomas taught out of the book of Joshua this morning where the children of Israel crossed over the river into the promised land, and Joshua told them to choose them out 12 stones and set them things up for a memorial. And he said, when your kids ask what mean these stones, you tell them what God's done. Every memorial in the Bible had something to do with remembering what the Lord had done. My wife and I go to Washington, D.C. every year. The first week of December, I have a revival meeting. This year will be our 18th year preaching right there in Maryland outside of Washington, D.C. And it doesn't get old to go to Washington, D.C. I love it. I love our nation's history. Listen, you can run America down all you want. I'm not pleased with everything she's doing, everything she stands for, but make no bones about it. I love America. Amen. You find somewhere better, move. Amen. These boats, planes, and trains leaving here every day. Get on one and go. If you're here and you mean to do this country harm, get out. Amen. Let me just say it again. I love America. Yes, sir. And I'm against this crowd who hates America. Amen. And wants to do her in. Amen? Amen. Yes, sir. I love this country. I love to go to Washington. I love to see the memorials. I do. I love to go to the Washington Monument. I love to go to the Lincoln Memorial and the Jefferson Memorial and see all those things. But every one of those memorials lift up a man. Everyone, and I'm still not against them. Give honor to whom honor's due. Thank God for our forefathers who loved God and had a respect for this book. Amen. Who prayed for this country. I love those men. But my favorite memorials in D.C. are not the memorials that remember presidents, but the memorials that stand for each of the wars that our country's fought. The memorials that are erected to remember those who died for the freedom of our country. What we're doing right now didn't come cheap. What we're doing right now came at the cost of human life and blood. I was wondering yesterday about how Memorial Day started and where it came from. In April, I'll read some scripture in a minute, but in April of 1863 in Columbus, Mississippi, after decorating the graves of her two sons who had died representing the South, an elderly woman walked to two other mounds of dirt at the corner of the cemetery and began to place flowers on them also. Two friends standing by began to shout, "Hey, those are Yankee graves." She said, "I know, but I also know that somewhere there's a wife or a mother who mourns the loss of a husband or son." And she put flowers on those Yankee graves, just like she did her two Confederate sons' graves. And from that action started what we call Memorial Day. It began as Decoration Day. It was a day not just to celebrate the flag, but it was a day set aside in America to remember those who had died. We have Veterans Day, and that's the day we remember those who served. If we're not careful, we let all those run together. But this day is set aside to remember those who paid the ultimate sacrifice. If you're in here this morning, you served your country, thank God for you. I said thank God for you 10,000 times. If you put on a uniform and you carried a rifle, hey, thank God for you. If you sailed a ship, whatever it is you did, thank God for your service. You paid a price. But today is set aside for those who paid the ultimate price. My wife and I and my children, I remember the first time we went to Arlington, Virginia. You ever been there? Anybody? Raise your hand. Arlington, Virginia. We went to Arlington National Cemetery. That thing is overwhelming. As you stand in those fields and look at those stones as far as your eye can see of men and women who gave their lives so that we can do what we're doing. I thought about those liberals who like to stand in the street and burn the flag. Now that makes me mad. Amen. Then he said again, that makes me mad. But did you know they have the freedom to do that? Bad as I hate it. They have the liberty to do that. Somebody died so they could be a disgrace. Isn't that something? Today we remember those who died in the Revolutionary War. 25,324 men and boys. It'd blow your mind if you knew how many children, kids, fought for the freedom of this nation. In the Civil War, 498,332 Americans recorded dead. World War I, 116,710 gave their life for our freedom. World War II, 407,316 American troops. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. The Korean War. That last war, World War II and the Korean War, my grandfather fought in both of them. World War II, my grandfather was at Iwo Jima in the Marine Corps. He fought on the beach of Iwo Jima. I remember my granddad every year would have the reunion of his tank. He was part of a tank battalion. That's Granny Faye's husband. He was part of a tank battalion. And he would have the reunion. I remember the last one he went to, it was only him and one other fella. They were the last two living people from their tank battalion who fought at Iwo Jima. The Korean War, 54,546 men paid the ultimate sacrifice for their country. Vietnam, 58,098 men and women lost their lives. The first Gulf War, 293. The Iraq War, 819. Overall, 1.1 million have died for our freedom. It's overwhelming when you think about it. 1.1 million. And we take it for granted every single day. Did you know as we stand here this morning and sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, I love Jesus, and we sing these songs this morning and we shout and we praise and we come to the altar and pray, there are men and women this morning as I speak in harm's way. In harm's way of the dirty, rotten, wicked, evil terrorist that want to destroy this nation. You say, you shouldn't talk like that. Yes, I should. It's exactly what they are. It's demonic, it's evil, and it's wicked. I believe the greatest enemy this country has ever faced is Islam. You say, preacher, be careful. You're on the internet. I don't care where I am. That stuff's straight out of hell. That stuff's wicked, is all hell itself. Are y'all okay this morning? I wonder how many of us pray for those men and women every day. Amen. They're putting their life on the line for us. That's what today's about. To remember those who paid the ultimate sacrifice. But there's one this morning who cannot be ignored. And his name's Jesus. The greatest soldier who ever lived, past, present, or future, ain't nobody ever fought a battle and won like Jesus. Amen. These 1.1 million soldiers that fought and bled for this nation and died and paid the ultimate sacrifice. Oh yeah, the price was theirs and the victory was ours. Oh, but Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice. Amen. And we remember those who have died. But when it comes to Him, we remember the one who has died but yet lives again. There is a statement in 1 Samuel chapter number 7. I want to give it to you this morning, and we'll hurry up and go to the ball field. The kids are leaving, and they're gone. But we'll get done here as quick as we can. But I think preaching's more important than a softball and a hot dog. We'll get there. I told them this morning, they said they had 20 first-time new riders, and they were going to try to rush and get out of here as fast as they can. I said, no. I said, you preach to them kids. And you tell them about Jesus. Yes, we'll play ball in a little while. Amen. I don't care if they don't get there to 1 o'clock. Amen. Y'all okay? Amen. This is more important than a hot dog or a ball game. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter number 7. We'll look at verse number 12. The Bible said, then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin. And he called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto, watch this, hath the Lord helped us. If you're familiar with your Bible, here in 1 Samuel chapter number 7, the children of Israel, like America, they're outnumbered. They're outmatched. The Philistines, the enemy. By the way, we're still fighting the Philistines. They're coming after them. And they're a little bit afraid, and they're looking at the preacher, and they said, preacher, we're going to die. And I'm paraphrasing here, but the preacher said, if y'all will get right with God, if y'all will get right with God, we might be all right. Read it. That's what he tells them. He said, if y'all get down here and repent and turn back to God, God might turn in your favor. And you know what the people did? They did exactly what the preacher said. Amen. Boy, wouldn't that be something in America? Yeah. If they had listened to the pulpit more than they listened to politics. Amen. 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 People who would follow. Oh, I got to be careful. No, I ain't. People who would follow a socialist like Bernie Sanders and then call yourself an American, you're sick in your head. Amen. Oh, I just made some enemies and I don't really care. I'm glad my hope's not in that crowd in Washington. Amen. Thank God we need some pulpits in America that'll preach what thus saith the Lord. Oh, somebody's sitting there right now, separation of church and state, separation, yeah. That was designed to keep the state out of the church. Amen. Not the church out of the state.
That's right.
It's our job to run this country.
Right.
There was a time in America when the courthouse and the church house was the same place.
Yes, sir.
Well, somebody said, I thought you was going to hurry. I know you want me to now. Politics. Man, we need preaching. The preacher said, get right with God. Hey, did you know that's the answer for America?
Yes, sir, preacher.
If America would repent,
yeah. You
don't hear much about repent anymore, do you? That means turning from your sin.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Quit killing babies.
Amen.
Quit marrying men to men.
Amen.
Women to women. You say, preacher, that's just old-fashioned. I know, and I tend to stay that way.
Amen.
And by the way, if you're a man and we catch you in the women's bathroom, we'll beat the fire out of you.
Amen.
Just thought I'd go ahead and lay it out there. Amen. My little kid, one of my grandkids in school, somebody in the opposite sex goes in the bathroom with them, I'm going to throw a fit.
Amen.
Somebody help me this morning. I told you my mind is going 1,000 directions, and that's dangerous. Amen. The preacher told them to get right with God. You know what they did? They got right with God. And that's amazing, ain't it? They said, we're in a mess. Everybody's screaming, we're in a mess. America's in a mess.
Yeah.
Get right with God.
Amen.
Could it be that simple? All the financial minds, it's not a financial problem.
That's right.
All the political minds can't figure it out. It's not a political problem. It is a spiritual problem. And America needs to repent.
Yes, sir, preacher.
And we need to get back to the God who birthed this nation.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, I got to get off that. He said, get right with God. So they got on their face and they got right with God best they knew how.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. And God forgave them, right, just like he does over and over.
Amen.
How many times has he done that for you?
Yes, sir.
Quite a few, I imagine.
Yeah.
Quite a few. We've come to God and said, I blew it again. God says, I love you anyway. Thank God for his mercy. So Samuel's a-praying, and while he's praying, the enemy's coming over the hill. And out of nowhere, they hear this massive sound of thunder. You know what it is? It's the Lord. And the Lord whoops the enemy. He thunders on them. You ever had thunder loud enough to knock you down? The Bible said he thundered on the Philistines. He thundered on them. I can just picture that. Here's the enemy coming over the hill. Here's the preacher praying. Here's the people getting right with God. And God says, boom! That's what the Bible said. And that thing got done. And the battle was won. And the enemy was beat. And the Bible said they didn't bother them no more. This was the end of it as long as Samuel was in charge.
Amen.
Said they didn't bother him no more. So Samuel said, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to get down in the middle of Washington, D.C. and we're going to carve out some of these soldiers and we're going to make some statues. That ain't what he did. The Bible said he raised up a stone and he called it Ebenezer. Ebenezer means a stone of help. A stone of help. We sang that old song a while ago that said, here I raise mine Ebenezer. In other words, he said, we're going to put up a memorial right here because the Lord helped us. We were facing an enemy we could not beat. We were in a battle, Brother Todd, that we could not win, but the Lord helped us. Somebody ought to get happy and shout right there and help me have church a little while. We were facing an enemy that we could not beat, but the Lord helped us. There only is an America today because the Lord helped us.
That's right.
You study your history book, there is no way in human reason that we should have beat the British. But we did. Amen. We beat the britches off of them.
Amen.
A British soldier and a American soldier was having a conversation one day, and the British soldier was bragging about their Royal Army, and the American soldier bragging about our military. And anyway, the conversation kept going, and he said, yeah, our military ran your bunch out of here years ago. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank God. You know why we're here this morning? The Lord helped us.
Amen.
The Lord helped us. Man, we want to brag on this individual and that individual, and I'm okay with that. Don't get me wrong. Thank God for George Washington. One of my favorite portraits in the world is him with his old gray horse bowing and praying in the snow at Valley Forge. What a blessing to have leaders. Boy, give us some leaders that'll pray like that today. We got leaders today that won't even go out in the snow. They ain't coming out of the warmth of their jet. Bunch of pansies?
Yeah. Amen.
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 Y'all want an opinion? I don't think we ought to have a leader that ain't served this country.
Amen. Yes, sir.
If you ain't fought for it, you don't get to run it.
Amen.
They want to take our guns away because they ain't never carried one. I'm on a tangent this morning. I'm sorry. I just love this country. I'm all for building these memorials to men, but we wouldn't be here if God not helped us. Had the Lord not helped us, He said He called the name of the place Ebenezer because the Lord hath helped us. I've seen churches all my life, and there's thousands of the name of Ebenezer Baptist Church. And when I was a kid, I thought they got that from the Christmas movie. I thought, I bet they got a bunch of Scrooges in there. Amen. I used to think that. I thought, well, I bet the Scrooge goes to church there. Amen. I've seen a few churches I'd like to change the name of them to Ebenezer. Amen. Y'all be all right. But I thought about some areas in my life and in many of your lives where it had not been for the help of the Lord, we'd have had no hope. Can I give them to you right quick before we go play ball? I know I got carried away this morning. And I apologize for that, but I'm telling you, I'm passionate about this thing. And you ought to be passionate about this thing. I'm passionate about our country. You say, oh, you said some things you ought not to say. Well, maybe I did, maybe I didn't. Maybe it's time somebody said something. Some of you done got sideways. I'm going to vote. I vote so I have the right to complain. Amen. I think it's my job to hire them. Every 4 years, it's my job to fire them. Amen. So who are you going to vote for? The lesser of two evils. But I think they're all evil. Amen. I'm trying to get you over being mad so I can preach the message to you this morning. Listen, number one, the Lord helped me when I was stained in my sin. When I was stained in my sin, I had no hope. I could not wash my own sins away. Have you ever had a shirt or something that you really loved? I mean, I do this all the time. My kids laugh at me. I have a favorite shirt a year. And I wear that shirt every day. I'm just a creature of habit. And I get something I love, I wear it every single day. I'll wear a hat till it stinks. Somebody help me right there. I used to put them in the dishwasher. That's the best place to wash a hat, by the way. Anyway, you ever had something you really loved and you got a stain on it? And you tried and you tried and you tried. No, it never fails. My wife will buy me a new tie and I really like that tie. The first time I wear it, I spill something on it. Worst thing in the world is that white cheese at a Mexican restaurant. You can't get that stuff out with kerosene. It ain't coming out. I can't imagine what it does to your insides. Amen. Gas won't take it. It feels good going down. Did you ever get something on something that you really love and no matter how hard you try and no matter how much effort you take, it's just worthless? That's the way my life was. It was spotted and stained by the filthiness of sin. And no matter the washing, no matter the trying to clean it up, no matter the trying to turn over the new leaf, it just would not take the stain away. You know what I needed? I needed help. I needed help doing something that man could not do. The church couldn't do it. My mama couldn't do it. My family couldn't do it. There's many counting on the church to wash their sins away. They're counting on a preacher to come and to bless them. You're leaving just as stained as you was when you came.
Amen.
There's an old preacher used to sing a song that always stirred my heart. And in that song it said, the blood runs deeper. Then the stain is gone. Isaiah said in chapter number 1 and verse number 18, he said, though your sins be as scarlet, the they shall be white like snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool.
Amen.
Thank God He can wash away what
Amen.
Nobody else can.
Yes,
I love the old song, "What can wash away my sin, Brother Charles? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." I said nothing but the... Hey, there's a crowd this morning, they won't preach the blood, but I'm here to tell you, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin, and without the blood of Jesus Christ, you'll die and go to hell. Thank God for the blood that cleansed us when we were stained in our sin. Jessica, I don't know if you realize it this morning, but every sin you ever committed, every bad thought, every bad deed, anything that could ever be said or held against you,
yes, sir.
It's gone.
Yes, sir.
I'm whistling because I ain't got the voice to shout.
Amen.
Let me say it again, every sin, every bad thought, every bad deed, thank God, where'd it go? It's under the blood. Somebody ought to get, hey, the Lord helped us. Somebody said, how'd you get saved? The Lord helped me. Man, if you knew the stuff, there's three men in this building this morning. If you knew the stuff we did, not out yonder, but in the church, we fought each other in the church.
Amen.
We sold each other stuff in the church, and I'm going to leave that at that. We did some bad. God, we didn't. If we did anything wrong, that's where we had to do it. It's the only place we got to go. But I'm talking about in God's house. We did some. Oh, how did you get in? He helped me.
Amen.
He helped me. I remember the night I got saved, I realized I was on my way to hell. I remember falling under that pine tree in the preacher's yard, and I said, help!
Yes, brother. Amen.
How many of you glad the Lord helped you?
Amen.
When you're stained in your sin. Hey, some of you wasn't like me. You wasn't like some of us that grew up together. You didn't live out in a life of sin before you got saved. You got saved at an early age, but yet you were still lost in your sin. Thank God the Lord has helped us when we were stained in our sin. I'm glad, number two this morning, not only did He help me when I was stained in my sin, but He helped me when I was sinking in my storm. He helped me when I was sinking in my storm. How many of you have been to the place, even though you're saved and you're on your way to heaven, you've gotten a situation you didn't think you was going to make it out of? I wonder how many of us have really just looked around and thought, this is it. We ain't coming through this one. But somewhere in the midnight hour.
Yes, sir, bro. Amen.
How many years ago it been, Roger? 2006. I got a phone call. My Aunt Bonnie, and she said, Eddie, it ain't good. I said, what's the matter? She said, Roger's in the ICU, and they've done surgery on his intestines, and now they've ruptured, and he's septic, is that the right word?
Yeah.
We don't know if he's going to pull through it. Is there any way you come? I jumped my truck right then. I took off Panama City as hard as I could go. I stood at the foot of his bed, and I prayed. We sat in the waiting room for a long time. I finally told Norman and Bonnie, I said, I got to go. Bonnie said, don't leave. You need to stay here. Norman said, Mama, hush. He needs to go. Norman knew where I was going. I went to the beach in the wee hours of the morning. I began to call on God. And I called on God till the sun came up. And the Lord said, it's going to be all right.
Amen.
First thing Roger saw when he woke up was my face. I'll never forget what he said. He thought, first thought went through his mind is, it must be bad they done called Ed down here. But I'm talking about a storm when you didn't think you'd make it out of. But like in Mark chapter number 4, when the disciples were about to go down and he was asleep, we preached on that pillow the other night. He was asleep on the pillow and they awake him and said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Yes, he does care.
Amen.
First Peter, the Bible said, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." You said, "Preacher, you don't know what I'm going through." Maybe I don't, but he does. How many times have you thought you wasn't going to make it, but somewhere in the midst of it, he stepped out and said, "Peace, be still. The Lord helped us. The Lord helped us." Stephanie, he's been with us through every surgery, through every bad report. God's been there. Somebody asked me yesterday, they said, "I don't understand why Tanner's had to go through all Tanner's." I don't either. Then I begin to think, ain't no telling what God's going to use him for. He's going back to the camp next summer where he's been every year of his life for little cancer patients. He's going to be a counselor. Ain't no telling what God's going to do. We don't understand. And we might even want to get sideways with God and think, "What are you doing?" God knows what he's doing. Knows exactly what he's doing. I don't know how many storms. When I was sinking in my storm, the Lord just came and helped me. Well, I'm going to quit. Thank God the Lord helped us when we were stained in our sin, when we were sinking in our storm. Lastly, and I'm done, I'm glad the Lord helps us when we're suffering in our sorrow. When we're suffering. How many of you ever had a broken heart? Listen, I got good news for you. My Bible said in Psalms chapter 147 and verse number 3, the Bible said he healeth the broken in heart. And I love this next part. It just sounds comforting to me. The Bible said, and he bindeth up their wounds. I preached a message a while back on, Lord, heal the wounds, but leave the scars. Scars will always remind us of what you've done in our life. I don't know how many times with a broken, heavy heart, the Lord's comforted us when nobody else can. I'm glad the Bible calls him the God of all comfort. People look for comfort in so many things and so many places when it's right there in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said, and he called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." I wonder how many might be sitting here this morning to just get honest with yourself and honest with God and say, "Boy, I need some help. I need some help that's beyond this church or beyond any man. I need God's help this morning." Let's stand to our feet. Wonder how many could testify to the fact and say, "Well, boy, the Lord sure has helped me." By the way, he's helped every one of you, or you wouldn't be standing here this morning. You gonna sing? Y'all wanna sing? Get us a song. I don't even know how to give the invitation. I just want to thank the Lord for helping me when nobody else could. No matter how much my mama loved me, they just certain things she couldn't do. She couldn't help me, Samuel, when I stained in my sin. She prayed for me. She couldn't forgive that sin. When I was sinking in my storm, when I was suffering in my sorrow, I'm glad the Lord was there to help. Let's bow our heads all over the house.